Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the 76th weekly episode of the series Land of Light. Last week, we spoke of the tortures which the Black Abyssinian Bilal ibn Rabbah suffered at the hands of the pagan Arabs of Mecca. We also partly heard the account of torture of another early Muslim named Khabbab, son of Arat, by his owner Anmar. Meanwhile, Muslims who had gathered at Zayd ibn Arqam's house, as usual, realized that Khabbab had not come to this gathering. And now, let's listen to the rest of the story. One of the Muslims said,
Khabbab complained about his situation to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The Prophet prayed to God Almighty to assist Khabbab. A short while later, Anmar felt an excruciating headache, such that she barked like a dog. She consumed whatever medications that were recommended, but her severe headache remained with her. At this stage, someone told her that the only solution to her headache is to heat up an iron rod and place it on her head. Surprisingly, whenever her headache got worse, she approached Khabbab to heat up an iron rod and to place it on her head in order to partly alleviate the excruciating pain. Thereafter, Anmar would let go of Khabbab for a while. However, her clan members started to persecute him on learning that he had become a Muslim. They forced him to put on armor whilst he carried his routine job of mending swords, besides the raging fire of the furnace. At times, this intense heat was unbearable for him, and he would scream whilst his torturers sadistically laughed at his agony. He, however, courageously refused to give in to their demands to revert to polytheism. That day was one of the days that they had stepped up their torture. Hence, when I didn't see him in this gathering, I became worried over his state of health. Meanwhile, at this point in time, Bilal started to speak up and to cite the account of Khabbab.
Bilal said,
Today I had gone to the environs of Batha district. The men from the Bani Zuhran clan were torturing Khabbab, while a large number of young onlookers were also standing around. Given that they failed to force Khabbab to give in, they were infuriated and one of the torturers went mad. This torturer suddenly got hold of the body of Khabbab and placed him over the raging fire of a furnace, while pressing Khabbab's chest with his legs to the extent that Khabbab passed out. As the smell of burnt meat and fat spread in the air, people rushed towards Khabbab and freed him from the hands of that pagan Arab torturer. Then I saw the fire of the furnace being put off by Khabbab's body.
Bilal tearfully ended his remarks. It was crystal clear that the remembrance of that ghastly was hard on Bilal. Tears also welled in the eyes of those who were listening to Bilal's account. Those present in the room remained silent. No one said a word. Everyone was deep in his thoughts. What could they say? What could they do? While the prophet was constantly persecuted by the enemies and could not do anything other than remaining patient, what could his followers do? A Muslim said,
"The pagan Arabs started by humiliating and degrading us. Given that they did not get anywhere, they resorted to torturing and persecuting Muslims. Earlier, they had tried to isolate the prophet. The upscale women of Mecca severed their ties with his wife Khadija. They accused her of marrying a madman. Whenever the prophet was in his house, his neighbors such as Aswail, in the company of Abu Lahab, and his wife did everything they could to discomfort the prophet and his venerable wife. Whenever the prophet intended to leave the house, they would throw obstacles in his path and taunt him. Ignorant children and slaves were forced into blocking prophet's path or to follow him and call him such abusive names as a madman, a liar, and a magician, in a futile bid to humiliate him. When these sinister efforts came to naught, the pagan Arabs began to persecute and torture his followers. One of the archenemies of Islam was Abu Jahl. Whenever he learned of the conversion of someone to Islam, he started hatching plots to disgrace and torture him. He was the instrument of torture in many cases, such as the slaves and the downtrodden people of Mecca who saw Islam as the liberating force and became Muslims. The intention of Abu Jahl was to force the new Muslims to revert to polytheism. Rich persons and businessmen who became Muslims were subjected to social and trade boycott.
Khabbab said,
"I had made a number of swords for As, son of Wael, but he refused to pay me, since I had become a Muslim. One day I went to see him and to ask him to pay what he owed me. He once again claimed that he had no money to repay his debts to me. So I told him that I would not leave his house unless he repaid the money."
"How come this day you are insisting on repayment of your money to this extent?"
"Because I have realized the reason behind your refusal to repay your debt to me."
"Yes, what you think is true. Khabbab, you have turned your back on our traditions. I find it appropriate not to repay my debts to a disbeliever like you. Now, I will never repay your money unless you renounce Islam."
"You should also realize that I will never let go of the divine religion of Islam and will continue to demand the money which you owe me. If you die, I will renew my claim on the day of resurrection."
"Do as you want. I will not pay you."
The enemies of Islam treated the slaves and the poor Muslims in the same manner. Some of these new Muslims were beaten up and left in hunger and thirst, to the extent that they lost their endurance. At this stage, unable to bear the torture, they would give in to the demands of foes of Islam, since the Prophet, in order to save their life, had allowed them to express verbally whatever the pagan Arabs demanded, especially after the tragic martyrdom under torture of the parents and brother of Ammar, that is, Yasser, Somayye, and Abdullah. Some Muslim slaves were on the verge of death under torture. At this point, there was no option other than buying them. The last one of such slaves was Bilal. At that stage, the Prophet and his disciples no longer had any money to pay out. However, how long could this situation last? After the Prophet's monotheist uncle Hamza openly announced that he has embraced the truth of Islam, the Muslims were further motivated. The pagans were afraid of Hamza's valor, but the early Muslims still didn't have the power to battle the enemies. So, to what extent could they remain patient? For how much longer could they remain in such a situation? Habab said,
O Prophet of God, we as slaves and impoverished persons are intensely persecuted by the polytheists. Don't you seek God's assistance for us?
You are hasty, Habab. Among the followers of previous prophets, they were those were more intensely persecuted, but showed no trace of impatience. The body of one of them was scratched with iron combs to an extent that his flesh was peeled out. They also sawed a believer's head, but the other believers refused to turn their back on their monotheist religion. Remain patient, dear friends. God will indeed assist his sincere servants.
A Muslim said,
Persons like Harith Zama'a and others turned their back on Islam after being tortured by their clans. They once again became polytheists. Hasn't the time come for God's assistance to Muslims?
The Prophet recited to them Ayah 97 of Surah Nisa.
Indeed, those whom the angels take away while they are wronging themselves, they ask, What state were you in? They reply, We were abased in the land. They say, Was not Allah's earth vast enough so that you might migrate in it? The refuge of such shall be hell, and it is an evil destination.
At this gathering, most persons in the assembly were saddened to the extent that they didn't realize Prophet's arrival, with the exception of a few. So, when those few responded to Prophet's greetings, others also got a grip on themselves and saluted him. Nonetheless, they were saddened to the extent that the arrival of the Prophet and his smiling countenance didn't put an end to their crossed faces. The Prophet asked about their well-being. It was sunset. Bilal, upon watching the Prophet glancing toward the courtyard, realized that the time had come for the azan, or call for the Maghrib prayer. So Bilal stood up, looked at the sky, and began reciting the azan. Those heavenly spiritual terms, coupled with that heart-soothing voice, reflected in the air, taking away all the previous worries bit by bit, to an extent that there was no trace of the previous concerns. Remembrance of God Almighty replaced all those bitter thoughts. Anxieties faded away, and concerns were wiped out from mindsets. Peace of mind was shaped.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Those who had to have an ablution rushed toward the courtyard.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas-salah. Hayya 'alas-salah.
Everyone lined up behind the Prophet to hold congregational prayers.
Hayya 'alal-falah. Hayya 'alal-falah. Hayya 'ala khayr al-'amal. Hayya 'ala khayr al-'amal. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
As the Muslims lined up in rows, the heart-soothing and peaceful voice of the Prophet was heard, which refreshed everyone. He observed prayers with his peaceful voice, which granted peace of mind to the worshippers. After the observance of congregational prayers, the Prophet stood up, looking toward the worshippers. He started his sermon by initially citing the name of God. Then, as if he was aware of what his disciples had gone through, he spoke of Muslims' hardships in the face of persecutions imposed by polytheists and disbelievers, while noting that those who remain patient will be rewarded by God and will receive God's assistance. Thereafter, the Prophet spoke of migration for the sake of God.
God's land is vast, and monotheists are allowed to migrate whenever they feel their faith in God is endangered and threatened. God says in Ayah 100 of Surah An-Nisa, "Whoever migrates in the way of Allah will find many havens and plenitude in the earth. And whoever leaves his home migrating toward Allah and his Prophet, and is then overtaken by death, his reward shall certainly fall on Allah, and Allah is all forgiving, all merciful."
Dear listeners, don't forget to tune in next week to listen to the rest of the account. God bless you and goodbye.